As I've explained many times, my mother was Irish. She was brought up on a farm in rural Northern Ireland. She was brought up in a large, happy family in a little village called Lisnaskee in County Fermanagh. In her late 20s, she was moved to Gravesend in Kent because of my father, from which she never really recovered, and she remained for the rest of her life very Irish. When I was about 24 years old, such was my mother's concern for me and my feebleness of purpose that my father was dispatched back to Northern Ireland to find a wife for me. The plan was very simple. He would go and sit in the pub in Lisnaskee, and the first woman to walk in and buy him a pint of Guinness would be the one chosen for his son. And that is how I came to be married to Jenny. That's a joke. There was no trip to Lisnaskee. There was no woman in the pub. I met Jenny in a church in Exeter. What a relief. This passage in Genesis 24 does not contain any very helpful principles for how to go about finding a wife or a husband. That is not how we're meant to interpret it, but it does contain some timeless principles for the Christian life as we are to live it today. So I'd love you to have it in front of you, please, and we're going to try and discover what these principles are for you and me today. I want you to remember where we started with Abraham way back in Genesis 12, and I want you to notice today how far Abraham has come. When we first met him, there was nothing worthy or righteous about Abraham. In fact, he lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. He did not know the Lord. He was an idolater. He worshipped false gods. In fact, he was like every believer who has ever lived. Abraham was dead in his transgressions and sins. And you know what they say about a corpse, don't you? A corpse cannot save itself. A corpse cannot raise itself. But God. God called him. God chose him. God saved him. God made him these promises. All Abraham had to do, all any of us have to do, is trust God. By nature, Abraham was an idolater. But by grace, by God's undeserved generosity, Abraham has been made alive. He's been made righteous. That is what has happened. And in chapter 24, what we're seeing now is Abraham being what God has made him. And that is the pattern of the Christian life. The Bible constantly exhorts us. The Bible constantly encourages us simply to be what God has already done. I've made you holy, now be holy. I've made you righteous by faith in Christ, now be righteous. I've made you alive with Christ, now live that out. I've done it, now you do what I've made you. Kevin DeYoung is an American pastor. He says this: if I had to sum up the Christian life in one sentence, here's how I would put it. Be who you are. Be what God has made you. And what we're getting here with Abraham is a worked example of being what God has made him. He's made righteous by grace. And after lots of twists and turns, he's now living out the righteous life. He's trusting God's promises. He's walking by faith. And let's see what that looks like. So look with me, please. Verse 2. Verse 2 on the sheet. Abraham said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, something very peculiar, put your hand under my thigh. That's just a way of saying, what I'm about to say is very serious. I want you to take this very seriously. I'm going to ask you to make an oath, and it's a very serious oath, so stick your hand under my thigh. And then he goes on, verse 3. I want you to swear to the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living. But you will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac there. Abraham's thought process goes like this. God has promised to make me into a great nation. He's promised to make me a great people. And now I've got a son, Isaac. But for this promise to work out, Isaac has got to have a wife. Isaac must marry. But his wife cannot come from amongst the Canaanites. In other words, Isaac cannot marry a pagan. The issue is not being foreign, the issue is being pagan. Isaac cannot marry a woman who lives for other gods, who has other priorities. He must marry a woman of faith, because God is building a nation. He is building a people who are going to be holy, who are going to be separate, who are going to be different. Absolutely everyone and anyone is invited to come and be part of this people. Absolutely anyone is welcome. But they cannot come in through intermarriage. Because very likely that will be a hindrance and a distraction to serving God, and it might even be catastrophic. Isaac must marry a believer. But, you say, maybe, if you've been listening, if you've been reading, you might say, but hang on a minute, we've just said that Abraham came from a family of idolaters. He came from a family of pagans. So why in the world would he say, take a wife from that family? Why? What's that about? Well, it's answered in verse 5. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? And Abraham's answer in verse 6 is, no way. Whatever you do, do not take my son back there. Don't do that. Isaac needs a wife. And she must be a woman of faith. She must be a believer. So here's the thing. She will demonstrate that she is, because she will be willing to do what Abraham himself did all those years before. She will be willing to leave her country. She'll be willing to leave her household and her people, and she will go to the place that God will show her. She will demonstrate that she is a woman of faith, because she will walk by faith in the promise-keeping God. And do notice, Abraham is absolutely firm on this. Verse 8. If she won't come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. We're going to trust God on this completely. We're not going to do what we did with Hagar and Ishmael. That was a complete nightmare, mistake. We shouldn't have done it. On this occasion, we're going to trust God. It seems to me that we are seeing the pattern of the Christian life worked out in the life of Abraham. He is righteous because by grace God has made him righteous, but he is now living out what God has made him. And that is the Christian life. Be who you are. Be what God has made you. Live it out. And that does mean being different. It can mean being painfully and expensively different. You see, if you were to read just before Genesis 24, you'll see that the Canaanites loved Abraham. Abraham would have fitted in really well with the Canaanites. He would have blended in so well. But he won't do it. And being different can often be quite costly. We don't go out of our way to be different. We don't go out of our way to be difficult. Not at all. But in the choices that we make about our marriages, in the choices we make about what we value, in the choices about what we desire for our children, our grandchildren, in the choices that we make about our priorities, if we're living out the Christian life, we're going to be different. Because the Christian life means taking God's priorities and making his priorities my priorities. Be what you are. Be what you are. That's the first principle we can learn from. The second one is this. True faith equals active faith. So verse 7, right? Verse 7, Abraham says, this is how confident I am in God's promises. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. That is Abraham depending on God and trusting him. But I want you to look at the efforts that Abraham goes to. He thinks, he plans, he discusses, he sends his most senior servant. He gives the servant such clear, explicit instructions about what he is to do. Does Abraham trust God to provide a wife for Isaac? Absolutely he does. Absolutely he does. But he does the very opposite of sitting back and waiting for God to provide. And it seems to me that this is one of the great tensions in the Christian life. Some of us think that trusting God means relaxing and waiting for him to provide. And some of us are extremely active. We think that nothing good can possibly happen unless we are pursuing it. Unless we are pushing it, it won't happen. But I want to persuade you that Abraham is both. He's both. He works at finding a wife for Isaac as though everything depends on him. He is immensely proactive. And yet, he rests in faith, knowing that everything depends on God. If the woman won't come back with you, then don't force it. Let's trust the Lord. And, you know, thinking about this, just put me in mind of Hudson Taylor. I've mentioned Hudson Taylor before. Bit of a hero of mine. At the age of 21, he left the UK for China. By the time he died, age 73, there were 18,000 Chinese Christians who had been baptized, and the China Inland Mission, which he had founded, was the largest mission in China. In 1867, he wrote to one of his colleagues in Britain. I just want to read you what he said. China is not to be won for Christ by quiet, ease-loving men and women. The stamp of men and women we need is such as will put Jesus, China, souls, first and foremost in everything and at every time. Even life itself must be secondary. Of such men and such women, do not fear to send us too many. They are more precious than rubies. He worked as if everything depended on him. And yet at the same time, he rested in faith, knowing that everything actually depends on God. Listen, friends, I think we need to hear this, most especially now, when it comes to COVID. It is right for us to take this latest situation seriously, and it's right for us to do everything that we can to manage the risk and to minimize the risk. But at the same time, we have to rest in faith, knowing that everything depends on God. We may work, we should work, as though everything depends on us. But we need to have assurance and confidence to trust that actually everything depends on God. More than ever, day by day, that's what we've got to do. We've got to do both things, haven't we? Work as though it depends on us, but trust God because we know actually it depends on him. True faith is active faith. Well, look, we missed out a big chunk, but if you read on, this young woman, Rebecca, she comes to the spring to draw water. She passes the camel test. She buys the man a pint of Guinness. And Genesis 24 ends with her leaving her family, traveling back to Canaan, marrying Isaac. But then in Genesis 25, Abraham dies. He never lives to see these promises fulfilled. These promises which have dominated his life, he never sees them fulfilled. He never even remotely took possession of the land of Canaan. But you know, wonderfully, Hebrews 11 explains it to us. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham was actually looking and longing for a better country. He was longing and looking for a heavenly country. That's the real destination all along. That was the real land of promise, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new creation. But what about the promise of blessing? Do you remember back in Genesis 12, verse 3, the Lord says to Abraham, through you, Abraham, all nations on earth will be blessed. Well, it's so fitting, isn't it, that as we finish Abraham, it should be the first Sunday in Advent and Christmas is looming. Because if you were to go home and it's so cold outside, you could sit at home and you could read the genealogies, the family trees at the beginning of Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel. And if you were to read those, you will find that the baby born in Bethlehem is a direct descendant of Abraham. Christ is the seed of Abraham, through whom all nations on earth would be blessed. And then what about the people, this great nation that was promised to Abraham, which he never saw? Because when he died, Isaac and Rebekah didn't have any children. In fact, Rebekah was barren. He saw none of this. But the New Testament makes explicit what we're already beginning to see. The New Testament says, if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, then by faith, you are Abraham's child. I don't know if we can put a slide up. Sean, there should be one more. There we go. I could go to numerous passages in the New Testament, but here's Galatians 3. Let me read you what verse 7 says. Understand then that those who have faith, faith in who? Faith in Christ, are children of Abraham. And then verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, the promise-keeping God has kept his promises. Through Christ, the seed of Abraham, through Christ, God has blessed all nations on earth. That promise has been kept. Through Christ, God has formed a people for himself as countless as the sand on the seashore, but a people from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. God has kept that promise. And if you are in Christ, you are on your way to the promised land, the new creation, the land God has prepared for all those who walk by faith. Yes, God has kept his promises. And we are the heirs of God's promises. For in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon his name. Here's the amazing thing. The God of Abraham is the God of Denton. And the children of Abraham are the people of Denton Church. Why don't we add to their number this Christmas?